said what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determine once and for all what is good.
And what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry and I'm joined as always with Blair Payton.
Thank you so much, Sterling, for that introduction. I feel so fancy. It's like I'm wearing a fur coat or something. But it's faux fur. Let's make that clear. It is faux fur.
Yeah, PETA, don't come for us. He's wearing faux fur.
Yes, I am very pro animal. I would love to get a dog, but I don't want to have to take care of it. I more or less want a furry roommate that is self-sufficient.
Here's the thing. I love dogs. Well, I love my dog. Last week, something happened. She got the runs. I don't want to put her on blast. She was shitting all over the apartment. I had to take her out like every 30 minutes because she was pooping her pants.
Oh.
But not her pants, just the ground. I don't want to do this to listeners, but to pick up that kind of poop, it disturbed me in ways. I'm still trying to look at her again.
Well, if it's the type of poop you're talking about, how are you even picking that up?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the problem. You can't really scoop it. I was literally in my neighborhood almost throwing up. I was like heaving because I was so disturbed. But I was like, I can't just leave it. But what do I do?
Well, what you should do next time you're in Chipotle, get a bunch of their napkins because they're biodegradable. And then when that happens, just lay a napkin on top of it and the nature will take care of it.
I don't think those napkins are biodegradable like that.
Are you sure?
That's litter.
By the way, I wanted to ask you what you think of this.
Okay.
So I've had this doctor for 6 years, and he's great. He's put up with a lot of my neuroses because I can't tell you how many times I thought I had cancer and he had to talk me off the ledge. So I get this email over the weekend from one of his support staff saying that he was leaving the practice to join another practice in like the Wall Street FIDI area. And I would get a discount code if I decide to join. And I was like, what? This makes no sense. So he has joined.
Doctors getting discount codes. Oh, God.
Well, this practice is like a luxury practice that is like a monthly subscription. And you get like on-call support 24/7 and X, Y, and Z or whatever all this stuff was. But it was some crazy amount, like $200 a month. But I got a coupon code for like 10% off.
So wait, he's a luxury doctor.
He's a luxury doctor now.
Luxury building, but make it doctor.
Yes. And I was telling someone this over the weekend and they were like, actually, that sounds like a good deal if you have access to him 24/7. And I'm like, I'm not at that part in my health where I need 24 access to my doctor. Give it like 2 years, maybe. But
hey, I think you got a few more than just two.
Okay, maybe five.
That's insane. First of all, it's not even the truth that you'd have access to him 24/7. He's, I'm sure, sleeps. And that I worry. I say, uh-oh, our healthcare system not doing well. And I have the opposite of that doctor. Can I say this? At my doctor, I said a prescription I was taking. They said, are you taking any prescriptions? I say, oh, yeah, I take this one I take every day.
You don't want to say it for the people?
No. And then I said, I take this one every day. And then they said, all right, do you have any pictures of you taking that?
What? Yes. If you check my Insta story, what? I have 14 selfies.
I said, actively taking the pill? And they said, yeah. And I said, I mean, I have a picture of this. I can show you the CVS receipt. I just picked up a new prescription, so that means I've been taking it. He said, you know what? We're not going to count it. We're going to say you're not taking anything.
What?
That's my doctor, so that's the opposite.
They asked me the craziest questions. They said, one of the other ones he asked, just this is a physical I was at.
They said, do you have an animal in the home? I said, yeah, we do have an animal in the home. They said, do you pick up after your animal? I said, oh, well, I kind of split it with my roommate. They noted it on my form. I said, what does this mean? What are they getting the intel?
How did you find this doctor?
I didn't. They just gave it to me because I'm just with the California, because I'm freelance. So I'm with the California, like, state.
Oh, that sucks.
Anyways, it's fine. Here's the thing. I don't really have to go to the doctors. I have an amazing therapist. I like got what I need.
Might I suggest subscription healthcare? Yeah. Maybe that's what you should do.
Oh, yeah. And that's why we want to transition to our new sponsor, subscription healthcare. So this is what you pay, just $200, $250 a month. So you can have your doctor on call. So when you get a weird rash, you could call them up in the middle of the night just for $250 a month. That seems like a
low price. I hate it.
I hate it. But you know what we don't hate?
Tell me, what do we don't hate?
We absolutely don't hate our next guest. We actually adore him. We're so excited to have our guest on today. You know him from his hit show, Game Show, as well as so many other shows in New York. Please welcome our guest today, Dave Mazzoni.
So Dave, thank you so much for being on our podcast. We're happy to have you.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we like to ask all of our guests right at the beginning, how do you handle conflict?
I am a pretty, now I'm going to sound like a real world contestant or like some reality star, but like I am pretty head on with it. I'm a very good communicator. I have had my dad is so horrible at communicating that I learned at a very young age that to get around him was to just like outsmart. And so that involves very clear communication where there is no room for bullshit. Yeah. And so if there's an issue or a question, I will be pretty direct about it. But it's all about being direct in the right setting, like, and not calling people out in like embarrassing or public ways. Like if you offer vulnerability and like use your own vulnerability as like lure for theirs, then if they don't know how to meet you at your level, then they seem crazy. And that is how you gaslight people into being honest with you.
Okay, so let's see it in action. Okay, pretend I'm your roommate and I ate your last yogurt.
Oh my gosh. I think I probably would. Well, you gotta pick your battles also. Like, I don't know, like a yogurt, like I'm not like, but like if I really liked the yogurt, I'd be like, hey, what's going on, Blair? How was your day?
Oh, it was great. You know, I went to the gym. I went grocery shopping. What's up? How was your day?
I love that. That's wonderful. I'm glad you had a good day. I wanted to communicate to you something that that happened today that felt like a little off to me.
Absolutely. You're my best friend and I love you so much.
I love you too. And that's so nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, actually. I feel the same way. Regarding the yogurt.
But you haven't said it a lot lately.
Okay.
Oh. Situation's taking a turn.
No, I'll receive that. Okay. I'll receive that because that's your experience and I have a lot of respect for your experience.
Thank you.
Speaking of experiences, I have had one recently where you took a yogurt. Well, actually, I'm making an accusation and so let me take a step back.
Okay.
So my yogurt that I was really excited about having was no longer in the fridge and I wondered if you possibly drank it. And that's only because, like, I was kind of planning it because I'm working on my diet. I'm trying to, like, keep myself hydrated and stuff. So did you, like, drink it by chance? It was really good. I like that yogurt.
It was just in the fridge and it didn't have a sticker on it. So I just assumed it was up for grabs.
Oh, are we stickering food? Okay, wait. I'm so sorry. I had no idea that was even protocol.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the lease.
It was in the lease? I would never have signed. See, so... So now we're in a situation where that Dave Mazzoni would never put himself in, where he's a roommate. He has a roommate who's a lot, you know, and these people exist. Blair, people like you exist.
That feels like an attack.
Oh, no. It's not an attack. It's just what it is an acknowledgement that you and I are different people.
Okay.
And at this point, I feel like we've hit sort of a wall. But the bottom line is we don't take other people's belongings. So I'm going to have to ask you to find another place to live.
Okay. Fair.
Whoa. You're moving out, kind of evicting him over.
And you know what? I didn't want to do this. And I feel like,
but I did just lose my job. So it's going to take a while.
I'm sorry. Like, and I don't mean to gaslight you, but that kind of is what I said I was going to do from the start here, which is I was going to lure you in with my emotional vulnerability and my communication in order to gaslight you into realizing that you are an insane person. And so for that reason, at Shark Tank, I'm out.
Wait, I have some questions kind of as an onlooker. One, you guys are drinking your yogurt?
I wasn't sure how many variables in this improv there were. So like, I kind of wanted to keep some things mainstay just given the prompt here. But I don't mind drinking yogurt. I don't really do dairy too much. Actually, what the fuck am I talking about? I had dairy all the time.
And then my second question.
I just felt like I had to be that girl who was like, I don't actually really fuck with dairy. But that, yeah. I just mean, like, I don't, I fuck with, like, cheese so hard, you have no idea.
Yeah, but you're not, like, if you're ordering a coffee, you're getting a non-dairy.
I usually do, like, a salt foam. I love the salted milk foam draft coffees at Starbucks. I also get shaken espressos a lot with oat milk.
Now, have you been to Dunkin' and gotten their cold foam?
Dunkin', where the fuck are you from?
Okay, first you kick me out, and then you just are judging my coffee taste. It hurts.
No, I fuck with Duncan.
Okay.
Where are you from?
Originally from Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, okay. I'm from Rhode Island. It's Duncan's all over the place in Rhode Island. Like, New England is very Duncan. Dunkin' Donuts, Ben Affleck, that vibe.
Okay. I bounce back and forth.
Okay, she's verse. Yeah. She's verse with coffees.
Yes.
Sterling, what else jumped out to you? What else were some things?
If someone said I have to communicate something to you, I would die immediately. I'd drop to the floor. Just to use the phrase, I have something to communicate to you. I don't know, like, it's so direct in a beautiful way, but I think I would be terrified.
And see, that's how you get them. That's how you get them. Like, it's the, I could have gotten all hot and been like, bop, bop, bop. Like, but no, if you just keep it here, then it's like, if they get to that place, they're insane. Anything you stay right in your little box. But also, I don't know, I wouldn't really get hot or pressed about any issue that I didn't know ultimately I felt justified in. Like, I don't have petty arguments. And ultimately, I can step back for a minute and be like, have objectivity. I don't know. Can you tell I'm in therapy and that I've been through a breakup?
Okay, so we have a game on our show we call Heaven or Hell. And these are some behaviors on a scale of 1 being hell, 10 being heaven, where you would rank these things. Or you can say, I don't feel like doing numbers and scale. You can just say heaven, hell, purgatory. Now, you are a big cooking enthusiast. And so we wanted to get your take on some of these hosting / like cooking behaviors when it comes to etiquette.
Okay, sounds good.
But this is going to be like a dinner party setting. Okay, Blair. Do you want to take us away on our first one?
I would absolutely love to. Asking your friend to pick up a box of pasta and they bring shells.
This is a 5. It's right in the middle.
Oh, okay.
I can work with shells because if I'm making pasta, I mean, it depends on what I'm making, but I'm always prepped to make at least 2 different kinds. Pesto is something I always have in my refrigerator because my dad makes it.
Ooh,
gorgeous.
So I have like frozen like little containers of it, tons of it. And I could make a creamy pesto parmesan shell that is delicious and will look beautiful because I love bright green pasta. And also shells are really good with like a cream. Shells work. I don't hate shells. I guess what you're learning about me right now is David's only like shells. So I'm going to say 5.
That's really interesting. Okay.
But it's not what I asked for. So it means that they didn't read the text and that's, we have to dock them 5 points for just missing the assignment.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What would you say, like, what would be your most hated pasta shape for a friend?
Yeah,
to
what
show
really
up with?
Pisses you off?
Ooh. I think angel hair is probably one of my least favorite like thicknesses, and I think it gets really dry really fast and soaks up the sauce in a bizarre way. Eats funny, more like a noodle. It's good for some things, but I don't prefer it. And then I hate the macaroni and cheese shape, the elbow that's like really curly. Absolutely hate it.
Okay, number 2. A friend arrives early while you're setting up the dinner party. This is just a friend arriving early. Is that heaven that they've arrived early maybe to help, or hell that it's not prepared for them to arrive yet?
Heaven, come early. I love it. I mean, I hope I'm there, but if I'm not there, then you'll just wait. You'll just wait for me. But no, heaven, I like when, if you're coming to my home, it means I like you. I don't invite people to my home unless I like them.
Yeah.
Can you say that again to Sterling? Because she always gets mad when I, because I'm very prompt, almost too prompt. And she always gives me shit about it.
I love that. It's just, I've hosted a few dinner parties, again, in a small New York City apartment. And Blair would show up like 15 minutes early. I'd be like, oh, I'm just jumping in the shower, like wet hair. Blair would just be like, I don't know. I think I got stressed. And I'd be like, you have to wait outside. Like, I'd be like, give me at least 10 more minutes. Because our kitchen was too small for really someone to help me out.
Well, to be fair, I wasn't going to help.
Yeah, and he also wasn't going to help.
Right. Well, if the offer's, you can't invent an ask that's not really there or an offer that's not really there. So that, I guess, makes sense to me. But I don't know. I guess you have to also understand somebody's vibe. And just for me personally, you ask my vibe and like I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. No,
totally. But yeah, you guys clearly, I'm glad you guys communicated this here in front of me. It felt like a really healthy discussion. I think you guys should continue to talk about it.
Thank you.
It just felt really good for me. And that's me. See, look at how much we're communicating. This is going to be so good when the three of us finally get that 3-bedroom brownstone.
Yeah. You know? I can't wait. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Number 3. Friend offers to clean up, and you clock them putting your cast iron skillet in the dishwasher.
Cast iron skillet? No, you don't put it in the dishwasher, but it's an opportunity. It's a teaching moment, and you can talk to whoever did it and tell them how that's bad for them. But if it's ran through already once, I'm sad, and you just have to oil it and like sand it a little bit and like pray. But like as far as heaven or hell, I'm going to say that's a 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, as someone who is not a cook, why is that bad?
Because a cast iron skillet is iron, and iron reacts negatively to moisture, water. It just like rusts, and the intense soaping process fucks with the natural seasoning that occurs when, instead of running through the dishwasher, you just remove cooked food and oil and wipe it with a damp sponge, and then allow those oils, the garlic flavor, what you cooked in there previously, to remain kind of in the oils of the pan very quickly. You do not need any type of like non-stick spray. Like everything slides right out of there because it's the oils of all of the things. That's why pizzerias will have pizza pans that they've used for like hundreds of years, because these pans are like heavily seasoned, heavily oiled, and don't require any type of non-stick spray or anything like that. And also, like I said, iron will rust, and you don't want that kind of soapy, rusty stuff in your food.
Oh.
Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
It does, totally. Still not going to get one, but...
Okay, our next one. A friend comes over, a.k.a. your sous chef, for your dinner party, and they forget to salt the pasta water.
Totally fine. That's like an 8. We can salt it later. If you're a real chef, you have Maldon seasoning salt, which is like a little bougie, very nice flaky salt, and I love using that as my salt element too. And also... Parmesan comes hand in hand with pasta, so if we're making water, you're going to be salting it up with that. So there's other ways to salt it, is my opinion. So 9, where it's totally fine.
Okay.
It's maybe more of like Italian superstition than it is anything else.
Okay. Next one. Friend puts a flank of steak in the skillet before it's hot.
Heaven. We take that out. We take it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very easily reversible mistake. Because if a piece of meat is hitting a skillet, I'm going to be there for it. Because something about me is that's the proteins are my favorite part. So I'll be there for that. I love meat. Here, this is the pull quote. Title of that. I can't get enough of meat. Get enough meat.
Okay, we have one last one for you. Friends pass on your homemade dessert because they are too full.
Honestly, fine. That's just going in the fridge for me. I'm such a sweets person. I never want, like, I don't mind cooking for people, of course, but like it allows me to cook in large quantities and it gives me leftovers. So if you don't want to eat my dessert, that's totally fine.
Wow. Okay. So you're a chill host.
Yeah. You know what I want? I want everyone to be like, that was so effortless and amazing. Yeah. And that part of that comes with like not making any waves, but also people get out of pocket. One of my favorite things to do is throw somebody out of my house. I've done it so many times. Not so many times, but if somebody gets out of pocket, I will Real Housewives evict them from the premises.
Well, I think it's the time for a story that you've brought us today. Something that might be in the right or the wrong to get Blair and I's insight.
Yeah.
Now, which, I know you have 2 on your mind. Which one are you going to go towards?
Yeah, where are you leaning?
Am I going to talk about... I just can't decide if I want to expose that I'm a whore or if I want to expose that I'm a shoplifter from... No, I'm kidding. let's see. I'm considering talking about my trollop through... I'm going to call myself the whore of Herald Square.
Oh, okay.
I love that.
I was only there for a couple of days. I was watching a friend's dog and I was... I'm single and I'm not particularly on the apps. I'm not really looking for anything right now. I've got a lot going on, but I went on the apps, for the first time in a while and was like haunting around Herald Square and just like that meme of like, I'm a girl with a machine gun where it's like, hey, what's up? Where are you? Hi. And basically just like to cast a wide net around the Herald Square area to all the gay men that looked really nice and cute and happy. Cute, being cute and sexy, whatever, is important, but it really is about, like, not having a psycho conversation in the messages. The messages have to kind of be, like, normal. Like, I'm always a little bit funny. Like, you know, the circumstance of, like, just wanting to hook up is, like, very actually natural and normal and shared across both genders. But, like,
what's your opening line?
Experience. My opening line is, "What that mouth do?"
No, oh my God.
I'm kidding. It's not. It's usually something
like a penis pic.
No, I'll do like actually if it's depending on what time it is. Like, I'm not on the app. So if I'm on there, it's usually late and it's usually like kind of tipsy, trying to just like make something happen really quickly. Yeah. And so I'll usually, if someone's cute, just do the upside down smiley emoji. The one that's like smiling upside down.
Oh, interesting one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's like where the whole thing is upside down because it's kind of like, hey, cute. It's like, hey. And to me, that's the right level of like, because I start the conversation from a very knowing place of like, I don't want to be like, what do you do for work? Like, it's not. It's like, you're super cute and close. Like, also, if they're within like 100 feet or 200 feet, I'll be like, are you in my house?
I feel like people will be like, soon.
They'll be like, exactly. Yeah. I'm almost volleying up like a perfect response for them.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Of being like, oh, I could be, or like soon. Yeah, something like that. It usually works. 9 out of 10 hit rate.
Okay.
But anyway, I sent out a million texts and I ended up responding to this really cute, like kind of like Filipino guy, like nice body in town for the weekend at this hotel, the Moxie Hotel. So I went to the Moxie Hotel, we met up, we hooked up for a little while. He was really sweet, kind of like chatted, made out, whatever. And then he started to ask for a photo. He was like, can I have a picture with you?
Weird.
And I was like,
But maybe
like,
he's a fan.
Like he knows who you are? Or just like, or is just like from memory?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't really tell. He didn't really ask too many questions, but like, whatever. I was like, no. I was like, I don't want a picture. He was like, come on. And then took it out and it was on selfie mode. And I was like,
that's, I don't like that.
It was strange. So I then got my clothes on. I was like, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, you communicated and left.
Yeah, I communicated. I was like, it was such a pleasure to meet you. Please enjoy the rest of your time here in New York City. And then I went out of the door and I went down the hotel stairs and I opened my phone and I had a bunch of missed texts and messages from all of the other men that I had been reaching out to just 2 hours prior. And so then I looked and one of the guys who was at a different hotel said he was at the Moxie Hotel.
Oh my God, incredible.
Wow. The Moxie's where it's at.
So I was given the opportunity to then basically kind of fix my hair and then go back up the stairs. I got back in the elevator and went up to the 8th floor instead and met a different guy and was a naughty boy. Very bad.
Okay.
But no picture was asked for, at least.
No picture was asked for. He was really cool. A really interesting connection as well. Very, like, in town for a brief amount of time. Hotel guests they're really interesting because there's really no strings attached, kind of, but also like very slice of life, like, where are you from? And yeah, it's just like a whole other like world. And then I leave and it's basically like 2 o'clock in the morning now. And I'm like, I'm feeling like just like a like zombie, like a horror zombie haunting Herald Square. I'm walking by Macy's and looking in the windows and thinking, One day, a man will love me and take me to the Macy's and buy me something nice, you know, from the department store. I'm taking on like a Betty Draper narrative, sort of. Mm-hmm. I check my phone again, and one other guy that I texted that I knew I gave the address to my house. He texted me and said, "Hey, I'm outside. Let me in." And that was while I was walking home from the other guy's house, from the hotel, from the Moxie Hotel, from my double homicide at the Moxie Hotel. Yeah. So then I got home and there was a third and final gentleman waiting at the front of my building. And I took him in upstairs and we watched 0.5 episodes of Succession. And I kind of like rubbed his chest and then we fell asleep.
Oh.
But I'm going to call that a 3 men in one night, Herald Square haunt. And I haven't done that almost, I think, ever in my life, that kind of experience. And it was a fun night.
Okay, two questions. One, you had to be exhausted.
I did feel really tired when I came home. And what really was a lot was the social of it all, even though there wasn't like a ton of discussion, there is a lot of like figuring out people's energies. And yeah. But that's part of the fun of the spontaneity of it that I didn't have after being in a relationship for so long. I was in a relationship for like 8 years.
Oh, wow.
So like the figuring out of different people and their sexual energies and learning my own in comparison to theirs is kind of like empowering. And especially in my 30s, it feels like now or never, girl. I don't know. Like yeah. The more I talk to people, the more they're like, go for it. Like, go, 30s. Like, go, 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 go. So I'm trying to put the gas on.
Well, my second question is, what happened with the third guy stay over? Did you hook up the next morning? What happened with us?
We fucked in the morning. Yeah, we fucked in the morning.
Wow. Did you brush your teeth?
I did brush my teeth, okay. And I took a shower, and I did let all my sexual partners know that I had come from other sexual partners. I'm a safe sex person, but also am on PrEP. And I will say all of these things because I don't know the demographic of people that listen to this podcast.
I would say it's 100% women, but yeah.
Okay. So yeah. This podcast, so I want the women that listen to this podcast to know that I am not one of those crazy gays. I'm a nice, nice boy. And if you have a man in your life who's successful, driven, looking for someone who can whip up a bechamel.
We know what a bechamel is, but for those who don't know what a bechamel is, that would be...
I'm not going to tell you because it's not even that fancy, and anyone who really cooks knows it's just it's like butter and flour and cheese and milk.
Yes, a little sauce. It's
feeling really great today.
Yeah.
It sounds fancy.
You know, I'm sure you have so many other things that make you wonderful, Blair.
I feel like do whatever you would like. You know, you communicated with each partner. You were having fun. Post breakup, I say do absolutely whatever you want. So I think my only question is like, kind of how are you feeling post? Are you feeling, it sounds like you're feeling pretty like happy with the experience.
Yeah, I feel, I'm doing what I want to do right now, which is diving in and accessing the sexual fun that all humans desire when I want it on my terms. And also, like, I really don't have an interest in a relationship right now. My last one was so exhausting, so draining. And I'm working on so much professionally right now that, like, I would like to phone. There's nothing wrong, ladies and men, with phoning in sex when you want it. Because I guarantee there are a lot of people, if you communicate correctly, who are on the same page. Not everyone is looking for romance. As somebody who just got out of a relationship, that was a lot. I'm in a place right now where you know, you might think, I don't know, people say you're looking for, sometimes you go for a rebound or something like that. But I don't feel that way. I feel like that there's other feelings that can be had and other ways you can go. And one of them is like feeling slutty. With a capital S-L-U-T-T-Y. Like, and that's like in a fun way. I'm feeling slutty, hoary, haunty, spooky, tired, hard, soft, all of it.
And also to be feeling that way in Herald Square, because I have frequented Herald Square, I would say mostly during the day. I don't know if I've ever been there at night.
You can go to the Crocs store.
That's a hard place to feel sexy. So most, I applaud
it
you
was
for
such
even...
a bizarre walk. There was a giant poster of SZA. Like, I remember looking out the window while I was fucking this one guy, and there was just, I was just staring at this beautiful poster of SZA. Just kind of like, it was SZA for Skims. You ever think about the Skims? Do you ever think about SZA for Skims while having anal sex?
Not yet.
Ladies, you should try it. Ladies.
Well, I will say, if you ever find yourself back at the Moxie Hotel, because I pass by that a lot, there is just a delightful little pizza joint right beside it, and you could have had a little snack after. You should have treated yourself.
Oh, honey, I was positively stuffed. I don't want to make the women on this podcast that are supposed to love me and respect me from a culinary standpoint think that I'm some type of like absolute ravenous like whore haunt. Even though I voluntarily told that story, it was vulnerability. It was me portraying my truth. And yet again, here you can see me gaslighting you into thinking you're crazy for not accepting my whore, my whoreness.
I mean, honestly, because I was going to say, you feel like our most stable guest that we've had. Not that we've had unstable guests, but you're coming in here so confident, and it's almost like you don't need our statement on this because I feel like it is good behavior.
Okay, I love it. I think you co-sign. Yeah, I think I'm in control. should I say what my other thing was?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, fine. For this audience, like, please don't get mad at me. And if anyone works at Whole Foods, like, you really can't get mad. You really can't get mad because I only did it once and I swear I'll never do it again. But my bad behavior was a couple of weeks ago, I was at the self-checkout and I was spending, I'm going to say, $400 on probably three items at Whole Foods. It was, I'm kidding.
Wait, three items?
No, but I was just shopping, girl. I was trying to get some stuff. Because groceries are so high, and I was going to the self-checkout. I was doing all my stuff, just scanning away and being honest. And honestly, if self-checkout, especially the self-checkout where I live, it's like, it is chaos, okay? It's like a lot of people, a lot going on. So, like, honestly, Whole Foods, Jeff Bezos is really, like, expecting a high level of honesty from everyone here at all these self-checkout things. So I probably did all, like, all 20 items, and then I noticed that, oh my gosh, a little wheel of cheese accidentally made it into my bag. This little slice of Saint Andre, which is a really creamy, delicious cheese. And ladies, I love addressing your listeners as ladies. I know that there are definitely more than
ladies. At least 15% that are not.
I love the men on here. I also love everyone who falls in between there. I fuck the binary. But regardless, I will say that Saint Andre is a delicious, creamy cheese that smells a little funky, but has a really, really delicious taste. And you must try it. And when I tell you, this cheese made it into my bag. And okay, I'll just say it. I stole the cheese from Whole Foods.
Well, I'm going to say, and I'm not going to make direct eye contact with you because I don't want you to try and gaslight me again. But I really feel like that this might be bad behavior.
I don't think so, because here's the thing. This is actually, I would say, even a clear cut one for me, because if Jeff Bezos is involved, literally take whatever you want. Like, Whole Foods, please. Like, they are definitely, one, not paying their employees well.
I'm going to say that I spent $12.99 on bok choy, so I would like some. I would like some cheese for free.
Yeah, I think that should. If you spend that much on bok choy, that should be what you get. Absolutely.
I just feel like groceries are really expensive, and unfortunately, in that moment, I felt as though it was my actual constitutional right to steal that one block of cheese. And yeah. I feel guilty about it, and I'll never do it again. Every morning I wake up and I think about that cheese and if it was worth it. But today I'm feeling like it was. And that's bad behavior, and I'm never going to do that again. And Jeff Bezos, when you listen to this podcast, I really ask for you to forgive me, please. And I also want everyone to know that I'm a good boy. I'm a nice boy. It would be an honor to cook for anyone ever. And I would never want to do it with stolen products. And that was just absolutely terrible of me. Also, try the cheese.
Well, okay. Also, when you first pitched us this story originally, when you said a wheel of cheese, I was really hoping you were getting a whole...
That's what I was picturing.
Like, an actual whole wheel each time. And I was like, what kind of bag is big enough? And that I love the idea of you kind of scooping that big of a wheel out. So a tiny little slice, nothing. And to do a wheel of cheese would be so funny, I would say good.
It was a wedge of a wheel.
Yeah, a wedge of a wheel. I think this is such a clear-cut case for me, honestly. Like, both of these stories fall so easily in good behavior. I think you should absolutely be able to go out to Herald Square, night or day, and decide to hook up with anyone you like, as long as they are willing. And also, here's the thing. A man asked you for a photo, and you still had the confidence not to be spooked, not to have your night ruined by that, and to still have a fun night. And so I think it's easily good behavior in my book.
Honestly, I think that, do you guys think I wasn't bad enough? Do you think when he asked me for a photo, I should have kind of freaked out? Because that was kind of weird, no?
I mean, that's definitely scary.
Like, I was like, huh, no, I think it was bizarre. It felt like the beginning of my pilot. It felt like the beginning of the pilot of that moment. Suddenly, like, it's like, we're tussling in bed. I'm writing the first page.
Yeah.
We're tussling in bed. Look, we finished the hookup. Then he asked me for a photo. Something's off. I look, and then I see, like, a camera in the corner of the ceiling that's on record. I look around. There's all cameras on. I try to run, and he doesn't, like, he hits the door closed. And then suddenly I'm in, like, some type of slasher thriller. Like, what's that movie starring Jennifer Lopez where she has the hand gloves?
Oh, Enough.
It's giving Enough.
So, Blair, as we come to the end, I think we have our final...
Well, the only thing I was going to say was bad was the cheese. But at this point, I feel like I've already been deemed crazy in this podcast. And now I feel a little ganged up on. So I'm just going to be peer pressured into saying good behavior. So.
Okay, perfect.
No, see, this I don't like. I'm so sorry. I really want to make it a safe space, and I'm actually acknowledging how I made you feel throughout this hour. And I'm gonna work on that.
Thank you.
No, it's okay. Honestly, it's our usual. But
Caroline doesn't have my back.
This is me throwing Blair under the bus.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Good behavior. Good behavior.
Okay, so Dave, you have officially been deemed good behavior. All right, so we have a prize for you today because you've officially been deemed good. And our prize today, speaking of therapy, which we talked about in this episode, we have a compliment we would love to receive from our therapist that we will be delivering to you as a faux therapist, and that will be your prize.
Sit back and let these words wash over you like warm bathwater. I regret to inform you that I can no longer take your insurance, but you should never have to pay out of pocket. So for you, and only you, our sessions will be completely free.
How's that feel?
How do you feel?
Wow. It feels like something I'm longing for, considering my sessions are like 175. So that's basically a full comp of 175. That's every week. That's got to be upwards of $800 a month. That's really fantastic. And as I feel it, it feels like an overall savings. And for that reason, I feel good.
Well, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow you, find you, any upcoming things to plug?
Sure. Yes. I do a variety of things in New York City. You can follow me at Dave Mazzoni, M-I-Z-Z-O-N-I. I do a lot of cooking videos. I'm in Instagram jail right now.
Wait, because what does that mean?
I posted a picture of my my friend from college, and I said underage twink for sale, which was just a joke about how he looked like a tiny little baby in the photo.
Yeah,
but I got flagged for trying to sex traffic my 33-year-old best friend. But I was putting out a lot of cooking content, some of my favorite recipes, some of my favorite tips and tricks. I am very domestically oriented. It's something I love to do organically. I love to host. I love to cook for people. So I have a really wonderful friend who's been helping me create some content that I'm putting on my Instagram, and more of that is coming very soon. Also, I'm producing a brand new show called Why Are You Single? It is a dating game show that's hosted by a very close friend of mine, Marie Faustin. She's a fantastic comedian. We just had the New York Times at our show last week. We are starting our run at Littlefield in May. Our next show is May 15th at Littlefield, and it's going to be a blast. We take three single contestants who basically submit this entire questionnaire, and we find all of their red flags and deem one of them officially ready to mingle, and the rest of them still in progress. It's really fun. It's very vulnerable, and actually, like, the first two shows that we've had have been fantastic, so I'm really proud of it. It's a really, really fun show that I've been working on producing, helping direct and write. And everyone should come see it. And that's pretty much it right now. Other than that, you can catch me out in Brooklyn, y'all. Enjoy the summer.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?